Well, on the backside of this tape, we're going to have some miscellaneous things that we're just going to add to it. So we'll be able to use up a whole tape and not have to have a situation where we just send out a half a tape. Here's a news clipping that someone gave me. It says, the good old days. Editor, how sad it is, some reflections on days gone by when grass meant your lawn, when gay meant happy, when movies didn't show blood, guts, or visible sex displays, when children learned manners and respect, when people said excuse me when they bumped into you in the supermarket, or when we were driving, we gave the other guy a break. Isn't that so? You see someone broken down now, and what do you think? Should I stop or should I not stop? And you look at that person, you think, will they beat me up or so forth, you know? And I'll tell you what happened to me just yesterday, as a matter of fact. You've seen this ad on television where it says the ad for gauge belts for your car, okay? You know, fan belts and things like this, and it says, change your belts regularly every 4 years, whether you need to or not, because it'll go out on you. Guess what year my car is? 1982 Isuzu. Right? Guess what year this is? 1986. Guess how many years that is? 4 years. Guess what happened on the way home? My fan belt broke on me. And I was about 5 miles out of Hollister. Here I was driving along, and all of a sudden the gas light went on, and I said, I just filled up with diesel. So here's a fuel light on. And I thought, how could that be? So I drive along, and then I look at it again. It's still on. I said, well, my gauge isn't working right. And then I saw the master warning just right below the speedometer there. So I said, uh-oh, something's wrong. Look, and the temperature is way up on the water temperature. So I pulled off to the side, and I lifted up the hood and found out, well, yes, the fan belt was broken. And I thought to myself, the last time I had the oil changed, maybe I ought to change the fan belt. Well, I didn't. So it caught up with me. So I look at that, and this thing here, you know, when someone's in trouble, they'll offer help. So I just stood there with the hood up, and I was leaning on the hood and watching the cars come by. About three went by, and I said, I just wonder if anyone's going to stop. So here comes this station wagon along, and I'm leaning up with my hand on the hood, with the hood being up like this, and I kind of nodded as the guy was coming to me, and he just pulled over and backed up, so someone did stop and help me. So what it was, who stopped, he was just coming to work, and he's the new manager for the new Wendy's in Hollister. Hollister's grown up, we have Wendy's now, okay? So he gave me a ride on in, and I was able to get AAA and go out and get the car and get it taken care of. But there are still some people who do that. But normally in these bigger cities, boy, you don't know what you're in for if you stop and help someone out or whatever, especially hitchhikers or women.
A woman has trouble.
Poor women. And who stops to help you? You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it's terrible. Okay? Now, continuing on with this just a little short clipping. But that was yesterday. Too bad we can't learn that was the better way and feel good about ourselves again. We had best friends who we could trust no matter how many mistakes we made. Husbands and wives gave more, trying to make it all work out. I can only sit back and think about all the good old things that used to be, and hope that someday history will repeat itself. Quite an interesting, that says an awful lot. You know, and then this tape I did here on immorality and false religions lead to the destruction of a nation. And that's exactly what we're seeing happen all around us. That's right. And I heard on radio the other day, they were talking about how the society has changed and why there's so much teenage suicide and all this sort of thing. And one woman concluded that things have changed so much, there's so many latchkey kids, they come home, there's no one there, and mom is not there with milk and cookies like she used to be. And they concluded, well, in circumstances where mom is there with the milk and cookies, things are better. But each case has to do, when you get down to it, of the of the religious teaching of the family more than anything else. It has to be the right religious teaching. I saw in 2020 the other night where they're suing a lot of ministers because of giving wrong advice. Do you see that? And this one minister said of suicide, well, suicide is God's way of taking home the backslider. So this kid went out and committed suicide. Bingo. That isn't what the Bible teaches, folks. You're going to get yourself in trouble with that. Then I read this from the Plain Truth. Okay? And it helps me now understand what has happened in the worldwide Church of God in relationship to why people get so frustrated trying to overcome human nature. Okay. This is the new one here. Yeah, it's in the Plain Truth. Let's see. I didn't see if there was any. No, I didn't say anything from. This is here still. Okay. This is the newsstand one. But here's a statement which is a basic fundamental premise in the Worldwide Church of God, which has led to a lot of frustration personally in overcoming and with rearing your children. Now, I want to read this statement here. It's talking about human nature. In humans, there now exists a tendency toward prejudice. The pull of human nature, like a magnet, is there. And then this is out of the column here. Mr. Sadat realized it. He told the Knesset, there remains a wall. The wall constitutes a psychological barrier between us, a barrier of suspicion, a barrier of rejection, a barrier of fear, of deception, a barrier of hallucination without any action, deed, or decision. No matter how you slice animosity and prejudice, you will always come up with human nature. Now, this next statement is very important. Source of human nature. Heredity determines one's color of skin, but not one's mental attitude. Not necessarily so. You're born with a certain mental capacity, which is your inherited mental attitude. There are some kids who are geniuses. There are some who are not. Okay? That's why do certain people think certain ways more than just what they learn? Now, that's not the main point. Main point is this. It says, you are not born with what has come to be called human nature. Now, let me read that statement again. You are not born with what has become to be called human nature. Now, that is a totally wrong statement at which to base a doctrine on how to deal with human nature. I think, was this the editorial? No, this is prejudice more than skin deep. Okay. Now, yeah, now, what does this really mean? If you think this one through, you are not born with what has come to be called human nature. That means you are born perfect. Is that true? No, sir. Let's approach it from this point of view. Is a new baby boy born with the capacity for the next generation? Is a baby girl born with the capacity for the next generation? Yes, but it's not activated. Correct? There is a time of maturity, but it is still there. They know that in a woman, she is born with a certain number of eggs. When those are done ovulating, menopause sets in at whatever age it becomes for her. Okay? She has within her at birth, yea, conception, the seed for the next generation. Correct? Yes. Same way with human nature. All human beings are born with human nature. However, with babies, it is not activated until the the thinking mechanism starts in motion. So when a new baby is a newborn baby, you're not going to see human nature activated, but it still has human nature within its members. So when is it activated? As soon as it has consciousness. And what is one of the first things that it will do? Get angry. Correct? Correct? Now, little babies, 2, 3, 4 months old, they don't necessarily have consciousness in the way of being able to do things. They can cry and let you know they're hungry, cry and let you know they're wet. They can laugh. They can do things like that. But when the mind is activated to the point that it's starting to really function, then human nature is activated. Now, human nature can also be greatly magnified by Satan the devil. Okay, where do we get human nature? Let's go to Romans 5. I just want to cover a couple of things here. Romans, the 5th chapter. Who was the only one or ones that did not have the law of sin and death in them? Adam and Eve. They did not have the law of sin and death in them. God did not create it in them. He told them that they could eat of every tree of the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and of the day that they ate thereof, they will what? Surely die. Now let's read Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Death, how do you pass something on to someone? By inheritance. That's how you pass it on. Death passed to all men. Now, scientists know today that human cells have in them proclivity for death from conception. Can a new person die at any time from conception forward to old age? Yes, it can. Can die prematurely, and that's called a spontaneous abortion before birth. It can die by murder through abortion, can also die during birth, can die after birth. So the law of death is what? Passed on by inheritance to all human offspring. And that came because of the curse of Adam and Eve. Paul talks about this in Romans, the 7th chapter. Romans, the 7th chapter. And we find here in verse 20. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me, an inherent part of your being. That's why kids cannot be perfect. They cannot be perfect, nor we can be perfect. And that's the whole key for grace. That's why we need the grace of God. Because there is no way. We can go out and we can do everything as perfect as possible, but we still have the law of sin and death in us, so therefore we cannot be saved by our own works, regardless of how perfect, because the law of sin and death is in us. Does God remove it when we're baptized? No, He frees its clutches over us, so that the law of sin and death does not rule over us, but it's still there. Okay, the law of sin and death. Now, we find it right here. Let's go to chapter 7. Well, we'll just continue on here. Verse 21, chapter 7. I find then a law Well, that's part of the law of the way that we function. Do we have laws of the body? Sure we do. We have laws of the mind, laws of the eyes, laws with the heart and the blood. And we know a lot of these things because of the scientific investigations that we know. We know that if you don't exercise and eat too many fat things, you're going to have a heart that's going to go clunk one day. And that's the way it's going to be. If you smoke cigarettes, we know that the law is you're going to what? Chances are you're going to get lung cancer, etc., etc. Those all function by law. Okay, so then he says, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, have you ever found that, I found this from time to time, that when I prayed and God has answered the prayer and I feel really great about it, a couple days later, I do some stupid thing, sin, okay? That when I would do good, there's a law that there's evil present with me. When you go down the road or driving down the road and you're tuning along, maybe you're singing a nice song. Maybe there's, you know, some beautiful music going on, or maybe, you know, whatever it may be. And all of a sudden, bam, here comes a thought into your mind. One you didn't want. That's human nature in action. The law of sin and death. That when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, or that is after the inward person. We all love God's law. No, it's holy and spiritual, wonderful and good. And that's what Paul said. It is good. See. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. So in our members, it's called the law of sin, and we'll see in just a minute, chapter 8, it's called the law of sin and death. Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now don't stop right there. Go to the next chapter, 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. If you are born with the law of sin and death in you, and God gives you a way out, when you repent and are baptized, should he continually condemn you because that is there and you sin? I mean, who would be saved? See, there is no condemnation, now notice, to them which are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, now if you're walking after the flesh, what are you doing? You're doing the things of sin. You're doing those things of the flesh. You're not striving after the things of the Spirit. Okay? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That is, it doesn't rule you. Didn't remove it. You are freed from it. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Yeah, the law of sin and death. That's what I wanted there. For what the law could not do, it was weak through the flesh. In other words, as long as we're in the flesh, there's that weakness to sin because of the law of sin and death. And we are born with it. This is a horribly misleading statement. See, you are not born with it. Okay, how then do you get it? Now, picture yourself this. You are baptized. You and your wife are baptized. You have a child. It is born perfect, according to this theory. What does that cause you to think the first time your child sins and you know it sinned? You think, what? What have I done? Right? Who is to blame? Oh, me as the parent. What have I done that they would do this horrible thing? Right? Or the next thought would be, If you're not born with it, how does it get there? Then it must get there because of Satan. So therefore, my kid has been interfered with Satan, or there's a demon here. And we're told by church leaders you can get it out of the child because Satan and the demons can't be around where there's authority. So what do? You nigh on beat them to death. That's how child rearing got so bad. Because you were not born with it, therefore it came from Satan, therefore it came from the society, or you parents put them in there. Nonsense. How can everyone come before the judgment seat of God on his own? No, what I'm saying is from Adam on, no one has to be shocked into sin like Adam and Eve, because they're born with the law of sin and death. Just a second here. Because we have the statement, let's go back, Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed to all men. Okay, death passed to all. The question is, when can a person die? From any time from conception to old age. So death is an inherited factor. Okay, no, wait. 1 minute here. No. And so death passed to all for all that have sinned. Now, we also have a situation that Paul identifies that as the law of sin and death within our members. Okay? Now, therefore, I am concluding that the law of sin and death run hand in hand, that they are concurrent, that you have in you the proclivity to sin because of the law of sin and death in you. And whether you're traumatized or not, whether you've been reared in a smooth environment or not, you are still going to sin.
Right.
Absolutely going to sin.
I agree with, but I can't.
Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And here's something, even though we do the best we can, we're going to die. Okay, now let's see what it says here. 1 Corinthians 15, and let's pick it up here in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die. Everyone dies in Adam. Death passed to all. It's an inherited thing. And I say, so is sin inherited through the law of sin and death. The human nature part which leads you to sin, to do the things you should not do. And if God does not call you or give you his word so you understand right from wrong, you never know what's right from wrong. And a lot of the things you think are right are not right. And a lot of the things you think are good are not good. And that's why people in the world, you have good, upstanding, sincere people in the world. Okay? Do they have the law of sin and death in them? Yes, they do. Do they understand it? Probably not. So, what I'm saying is, if you start out with this, that you are not born with what has become to be called human nature, then you really have a problem. You really have a problem. The parents cause it, but no, and we all know, don't we? When we were kids, didn't we go out and do things that we were told not to do? I mean, every one of us. Sure, did we know we were doing what we shouldn't do? Yes, we knew what we were doing when we... Sure, we do. I mean, that's the activation of the law of sin and death. What's one of the first things little kids do? No one... Now, at our house, we don't lie, okay? We do not lie at our house as a practice. I don't lie to my children. I don't lie to my wife. But what's one of the first things I caught my kids doing? Who done it? I didn't do it. Lie. Okay? Automatic. It's there. See? That's the whole point I'm trying to make, which then does two things. Number one, in a way, it makes us more accountable for ourselves because we can control to a certain extent. Number two, it magnifies what Christ has done. Greater. Fantastic what Christ has done. So here we are still, even though we have God's Spirit in our mind, we still have the law of sin and death in our members. Now, how many had a perfect week? How many did not sin once? I see no hands. I'm putting mine down. Okay? That's why we need the grace of God, which covers those. And that is an encouragement that we continually come back to God, continually come back to Christ. And He will forgive those sins. We are under His grace. And that is a fantastic and tremendous thing to really know, for you can have confidence. Otherwise, you go along and you think, you know, ding, you do a small sin, you think, have I committed the unpardonable sin? Or you go along and there's lust. Okay? Or you go along and it's something in your mind you really didn't want in your mind, but still, nevertheless, it's in your mind. Do things come in your mind you don't want in your mind that are still in your mind? Sure. Try running up and turning off the TV as quick as you can to not get the ad you hate. And I guarantee, one day you're driving along, or one day you get up in the morning, or one night you wake up in the middle of the night, and guess what's bouncing through your head? That stupid advertisement that you got up to turn off because you didn't want it in your mind. Is it in your mind? Yes, it's in your mind. You didn't want it in your mind, right? The grace of God covers all of that. Now I see everyone smiling. You have all experienced that. Yes, you have. Sure you have. Okay? That is the law of sin and death in us, and everyone is born with it. Therefore, when your children, as they're growing up, do things they shouldn't do, don't blame yourself and get extra mad at them because they shouldn't do it. Your extra wrath isn't going to get rid of it. Handle it in proportion and make them know they're responsible. And let them know that you know that they're going to do things that they ought not do when you aren't there, because you know that's what they're going to do. And that'll help them be a little better. No, I look back. Oh, man. I'll confess one bad sin I did when I was about, 15, 16? Yeah, there was a newspaper strike, and I worked for the newspaper. And there was a newspaper strike in Tacoma. So I knew where all the newspapers were dropped off. And I went out and stole about 400 newspapers, Sunday newspapers, see. And I was on my motorcycle, you know, nothing like having the evidence out in the open. You know, you can't hide them on a motorcycle. See, go on down to Tacoma. So what am I doing? Going around door to door selling them for a buck. And after about the 15th one I sold, the guy looked at me and he says, "Where did you get those newspapers?" And I don't know what I told him, but I thought to myself, uh-oh, you're in trouble. So I stopped selling them instantly, and I went and I threw them over the side of a ravine and got out of Tacoma as fast as I could get out of there. But now, did I know it was that I should not steal? Yes. Did my folks teach me to steal? No. They taught me not to steal. But I, of my own mind, went and did it. Why? Because of lust. Right? Which is where? In your members. Right? That's why they have arguments at 2 years old. Whose skateboard is it? Or whose dolly is it? You know? Who put the paint on the wall? I don't know. It just grew there. You know? Yes, you're right. Sin tries to hide itself by being good. It's kind of like that thing with the Bill Cosby, you know, no, voompa, 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 and it comes on, ding! This is the Lord speaking. And he said, "I've been good. I've been good." That's just the way it works. And human nature likes to be good and to do things that look good. So you're right, it hides. And that's where false religion becomes so insidious. Because it looks good, and it can sound right, and it can sound good. But just like this paper that Mr. Johnson gave me, very good one. Very, very, very good one on church government. And after reading it, I would conclude that what we have here is more like what is in here than anything that I know of. And this is a pretty good one on analyzation of church government. But he says, this is a very good statement. Why is there a division? Okay, now there's a certain amount of division based upon doctrinal conviction, which is a little different than division based upon following a person. Okay? In Paul's time, the impetus for sectarianism came from the bottom, from new believers insecure in following an invisible leader. That is Christ. And unable to recognize impartiality and the labor of all of Jesus' servants. Today, the impetus comes from both of those who follow and those who lead. Churches vie for members. Leaders desire followers for themselves. And believers feel they must belong somewhere. So you have a lot of people who are playing church because it is what? It's a social gathering. Therefore, the more truth that can be intermixed into a little bit of error, the better it looks, the better it sounds, and that's how sin can be deceitful. So here's this one statement here really shows, and I think this shows the heart and core of the problems that we had when we were in Worldwide, because not knowing, we operated on this basis. Therefore, when we sin, we what? We beat the flesh, didn't we? To overcome, to drive it out. You're going to drive it out. See? And I'm going to read that article again called How to Be an Overcomer, and I think that in there it will say almost exactly that, that you have to, you know, you must do it. No, Christ must do it. Christ must do it. Okay, any other thoughts or comments on this as we go on here? Okay, well, I had this little bit of extra tape on the back, so I thought I would cover that and get to it. So that's why we need to have the best environment we can for our children. Okay? We can do all we can to try and keep them from wrong friends and wrong music and wrong practices and getting into things which then get into the deeper things of Satan. You know, Satan then can use and manipulate human nature. He's the prince of the power of the air. And once there is an entrance of Satan into the mind through various different things, today we have drugs, we have music, we have open sex, we have no morality in schools, no morality at home in the main, and therefore a lot of things that are sin are just taken as ordinary, everyday events that happen. And it causes a lot of problems and headaches for a lot of people. Okay? So when Satan gets in there, and it talks about, let's go just to Revelation 2 for a minute, just for a point. Satan can get in there and stir it up. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's deceived the whole world. But there are those who go beyond just an ordinary person or ordinary citizen or ordinary sins that you would find in a society. Okay? Revelation 2 and verse 24. But unto you I say, now can even get in the church of God, because this is to those who are of the church of God. This is quite a when you really think of it, a deeply profound verse. But unto you I say, and the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak. So people can get into the depths of Satan. Very possible. Here it is right in the church. How could it happen in the church? I think I can answer that partly. Obviously through eating things sacrificed to idols and so forth. In other words, idolatry is one way. Another way is, I was listening, you can tell I did a lot of driving this week. I was listening to KGO, and there was this fellow who wrote the book Hunger for Power or Thirst for Power or whatever it was, and he said, he was showing that really power comes from service and love, which is the right kind of power. And that all these big, powerful people you see in the world are not powerful. They're really selfish and self-centered. And that they run on the Machiavellian type of power, which is, it is better to be feared than loved. Now, does that sound a little familiar? One of the worst things, and part of the things that could happen to a church where it is run by fear. And I thought to myself, that sounds a little familiar. It's better to be feared than loved. That's not what Christ said. He said, love each other, right? As I have loved you. Isn't that what he said? Right? Yes, he did. So then when you operate by using fear to manipulate people, then what do you have? You have one of these things, which is a device and tool of Satan. I don't know whether that's necessarily the depths of Satan. I don't think it is. But you get into some of these religious practices that people do, and it's the depths of Satan. But, you know, I don't want to get into a whole thing on church things, but there it was, right in the church of God, that Christ said he is the head of. Here it came in. I mean, we can sit here and say, oh, bad, but it happened. And I guess that's why we're here, a little group here. Okay, why are we here? Because we bumped into some of these things along the way or been victimized by them, or we see that things aren't right. Okay, well, I'll end it here and butt out of tape.